Things just a little different this morning. Hopefully, it'll be a good different. We're sure glad to see all of you here. We're glad to have all of you that are on the internet watching. We're going to have two of our young guys up here helping me out today. So I appreciate your time. If you'll bow with me, we're going to have a word of prayer. Dearest Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time that we can come together and study your word. Father, we ask that you be with us as we present this lesson. Help us to do so in a manner well-pleasing in your sight. Guide us and protect us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this morning, got to get the glasses on, sorry. Font's still not big enough. We're going to look at David's life in that period of time where he realized he was a sinner and what he did and what he asked God to do. Now, for those of you online, y'all won't be able to see this, but if I take my notes and I do that with them, Kim will pass out over there, and but we'll make it. In the passage we read, we see where David's reaction to his sins. Which one goes first?
In Acts verse 22, we read, "After removing Saul, he made David their king. He testified concerning him, 'I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to.'"
How many of you have had a time that you knew that God said that you were a man or a woman after his own heart? Have you had that? Would you like that? Every one of us would want that. Every one of us should strive to get there. We should have that confidence that we have the faith in God, that we will be confessed by God, that we're after his own heart. David wasn't perfect. Guess what? We aren't either. So if God would say that about David, can he not say that about us? Where are we in our walk with God? Can he say that about us? In Psalms 51, we see that David has that realization that he sinned with Bathsheba, and he confesses his sins to God, and he's asking God to forgive him because he had seen what happened whenever Solomon had been ignored by God. When God had left him, and he's asking God not to do that. He's asking God to stay with him and to forgive him of his transgressions.
"Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash out all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me."
Have mercy on me. Pretty big statement. But he knew that God would have mercy on him. When you come to the realization of sin, that then comes humbleness. Humbleness is the state of being where you're understanding where you're at with God. Humbleness is giving yourself to God. David was very humble at this point. He realized that he had sinned. He realized what he needed to do to make things right, and that's where that's what he was attempting to do in this psalm. He didn't want to be separated from God. He felt that need to be with God. as we all should feel that need. In Psalms 59, or 50, Psalms 51, verse 9.
Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquity.
So, he hides his face from his sins and blots out his iniquity. He's asking God, please, please forgive me. David was ashamed of his sins and doesn't want God to see it. He wants it gone. He wants it just wiped out. Guess what? God says that he'll do that. God says that he'll wipe out our sins. It won't be there anymore. Once he's forgiven us from our sins, it's not like us. We're the person who can't forgive ourselves. We think that other people can't forgive us, but God can. Kim, when she was in the prison ministry, she had many times some of the ladies that would come up to her and say, how can God forgive me? They couldn't forgive themselves for what they had done. So David had asked that God wipe out his sins, and not only his sins, but the hurt of the relationship between him and God. How hard is that for us to do? That's hard for us to do. We have to admit that we have sin. We have to admit that we are the one at fault here. God will forgive us. God will let us mend our relationship, because we need that relationship today on a day-to-day basis to walk with God.
Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me.
So in Psalms 51, 10, and 11, he's saying, create me a pure heart. How many of us can ask God to create us a pure heart? All of us. That's a simple thing. He's asking him to do not cast me from the presence of the Holy Spirit. Why was he asking that? Because he knew he had sinned. He was asking forgiveness at that point too. The definition of pure is free from anything, from impurity, simple, and unmixed. So he's asking him to make him pure. Nothing at all other than just pure.
In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 through 26, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be... that's the wrong page. Or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money.
Sorry about that, John. I didn't turn the page, put it over here to the side. David recognized that you couldn't serve God and serve other, like money. But it doesn't have to be money. It can be an act of what you're doing. He served the relationship that he had with Bathsheba. He served other things, and he realized that was wrong. So he's asking God that you can't, or he's acknowledging to God, or in Matthew he's talking about, Jesus is talking about, you can't serve two masters. You can't serve money and a spirit of uncleanliness, whatever that is. David recognizes that he couldn't serve his own lust and serve God. Jesus says our relationship with God can not take place in our heart if there's a love of money or anything unclean.
What does that mean? That you can't have a relationship with God and still, you know, whatever, go out drinking or lie or steal? Well, that's what exactly it means. You have to have that relationship with God first, not second, not third, not fourth. The relationship with God has to be first. And it can't be a relationship that is crowded in here with other stuff. Anything that we want more than our relationship with anything that we want more than our relationship with God, whether it be lust of money or improper relationships, will destroy our serving God. By definition, pure, we have to have a heart that is devoted to entirely to God, unmixed with anything else. How can you have a heart that's unmixed with anything else? We live in a world, but that has to be your priority. It's a priority issue. It's where your heart is. In verse 11, David asked God to not cast him from his presence. David had witnessed in his time with Saul. Or not Saul. That came out of left field. With his time with Solomon, how that he was not part of God's life anymore. God was not part of his life anymore. In Samuel 16:14.
Now the spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him.
How would you like to have that said about you? Now the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Put your name in that place. And an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. Saul knew it. Saul was tormented. Are you tormented? Tormented? If you are, you know where you need to be. And David knew where he needed to be. That's why David wrote what he wrote in this psalm. David had seen what happened when God leaves someone. He saw that when Saul did not, Saul had not represented God in his heart. Saul's sin had caused God to turn away from Saul. Everything that we could expect from God, Saul had turned away from. In verse 12, it says, David said, "Restore me to the joy of your salvation. Grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." Grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. How hard is that? That's another one of them things that we can all ask for. We ask for comfort. We ask for blessings on our food, our family, our safety. Do we ask for restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me? Do we ask that? Put that in your prayer. Add that to your prayer list. David wanted a do-over. He wanted to do this again. He wanted to start over. He wanted to have be back and walk with God. He wanted to know God's joy. He wanted everything to be back like it was when he killed the Philistine, when he killed the bear, when he killed the lion. He had God with him by his side. There was no doubt in his mind that God was with him at those times. In Psalms 57:1,
"Have mercy on me, O God, have mercy on me, For in you my soul takes refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster is past.
Have mercy on me, O God. David recognized that there would always be trouble, but if he leaned on God, that it would go away, that God would take care of his troubles and make him to where that he had that comfort of God. If you've ever noticed, I'll pray that God comfort those who have lost loved ones as only he can, because he can truly comfort us, and that's the only one that can truly comfort us. We can take comfort from others, but God's the only one that can truly comfort us. If we give him that opportunity, he will. In Psalms 55:22,
cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall.
Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. Do we cast our cares on God? We should. We pray to him daily. Do we tell him what our cares are? Do we ask him to be with us? I believe that righteousness is something that we can never obtain, but God will give. David was a man after God's own heart. David was not perfect. We're not perfect. Can we strive to be perfect? Yes, we can. Is righteousness mean that we are perfect? Not necessarily. God will justify us. The righteous one will stumble and get back up and get back on track with God. That's what that means. David's promise was that David asked these things from God, but when he laid out his plan to praise God in verses 13 and 15,
then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you. Save me from blood guilt, O God, the God who saves me, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise.
David was willing to teach others so that they will repent and turn back to God. He will praise him for all God has done. Do we praise God? Do we praise God for all that's done? Do we repent? Do we teach others that they need to repent? Do we trust in God? Do we trust God will be with us? Do we trust God that he will be there for us? In verse 18,
in your good pleasure, make Zion prosper. Build up the walls of Jerusalem.
How we live affects others around us. If David turned his life around, then everyone around him would benefit as well. If we turn our life around, if we are living for the right, does everybody around us benefit? They do. In closing, if there's anybody that needs help getting their life turned around, if anybody realizes the relationship is with God is not what they want it to be, if you will come forward while we sing, we'll have a song and we'll help you with that.
somebody will be able to help.